bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
And yes, we are back. Back here to continue building that just society, just as God intends for us to do. We've all been given the task of being a people of justice as disciples of Jesus Christ and lovers of God. But how we do that task is quite different for each one of us. And we're here today to discover who we are, what we've been given to do, what we're gifted at, and to use that right in the location where we find ourselves on planet Earth. Today we're talking about interpreting current events in light of Catholic social teaching. I thought I should stop and do this one because there is so much rapid changes in society right now, rapid changes in our world, so many things going on, it makes your head spin. And I thought, you know, I need to stop and help us understand, to back up and take a breath, really, because we can get so caught up in the fury of it all that we lose track of the main thing. So I'm talking today about interpreting current events in light of Catholic social teaching. Now, I really have a lot of things to say right now. So many episodes lined up. I was telling the producer earlier that on the right side of my desktop is where I have completed episodes that are ready to go on air. But then floating around randomly on my desktop is, you know, episodes that are coming up, but I haven't, you know, fleshed them out yet. I've got a lot more research and organization to do on those. So I've got a lot coming down the line, but where do we begin? Well, I thought, let's begin with this, the interpreting of current events in the light of Catholic social teaching. And man, I tell you, what times we are living in right now. As I scroll through social media, I realize that we are confused as the human race. We're noisy, that's for sure. And we're full of anger and lost as a society right now, especially here in America. When I scroll through social media, I do not doom scroll. I scroll for 5 minutes, then I set my phone down. I like to get just enough of an idea of what the conversations are and then move on. But for those of you, by the way, who do not know what doom scrolling is, it happens when you scroll forever through social media with no end in sight. Now, to give you an example, if you've watched YouTube and you just hop from video to video to video to video, and at 2 hours later find yourself still hopping through all the videos on YouTube, that's kind of a way of doom scrolling, except that's not scrolling, that's watching. But the only thing the people of God should be doom scrolling is when they scroll through the beads of the rosary, scroll through the pages of the Bible, and scroll through the lives of the saints. That's where our doom scrolling should be happening. So, what is going on in society right now? There is rapid change, insane things going on out there, things I never thought I'd see in America, at least in my lifetime. Now, I do understand that all empires collapse. All empires that have existed in human history have collapsed. The United States is the current empire, world empire, and we're doomed to collapse. But I didn't think I'd see the things we're seeing now in my lifetime. We really are living in a time of extreme danger. Now, hear me out on this. You know, after much research and with an open mind to that research and the conclusions it would lead me to, I really am now convinced that America is sliding into a Fourth Reich of Nazism. I don't think it will ever slide into communism. And I'll explain more about why that is later. I know the communists in America have made their voices heard. Communism, not so much, but certainly the Nazism, and I'll explain why that could be as well. But each event of each day seems to confirm that more and more. When I first saw it, my heart was broken over where we are. Now, I am not one to jump on bandwagons. I'm not one to say Trump is Hitler, blah, blah, all this stuff until I do my research on things. I research history, patterns, principles of various philosophies of government. So I'm not so quick to label someone a Nazi just because they don't agree with me or I don't like what they're doing or labeling them communist, socialist, whatever. But this conclusion came after careful research and observation, you know, the scientific method, that I do believe that we're sliding dangerously close, or we may, as someone put on social media this morning, we're not on the edge of being a Nazi state, we're in the middle of it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, because what historians tell us is that you do not know that you are living in a Nazi or communist state. If you're an average citizen, you're the last one to know it. It's already happened long before you get the information and it affects your life. But it isn't a particular, you know, party that I've noticed that's responsible for this. A lot of people like say, well, it's all MAGA, but I don't think it's a particular political party that's responsible for where we're at. It is extremists who have hijacked both the Democratic and Republican Party that is responsible for this. Because on the one hand, you have extreme leftists in the form of the progressives who are attempting to exercise absolute power in the form of extremist environmentalism, such as Heimlich Himmler exercised. It was extremist environmentalism that motivated Heinrich Himmler to bring on the Holocaust. And on the other hand, you have extreme right-wing MAGA who has hijacked the Republican Party, who's attempting to seize absolute control through extremist nationalism and attaching Christianity to that. Now, all three of the axis of evil, Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini, all said that in order to gain control over the populace, you have to get them to love their country above everything else. Let me repeat that. The three big ones on the axis of evil, Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini, all said that in order to gain control over the populace, you have to get them to love their country above everything else. Once that happens, then you can control them. And that is what is happening right now. We are in a time that is very dangerous, and if we don't wake up and resist this movement, we're done for. And you think you've got injustices in your neighborhood now that need to be dealt with, wait until something such as a Fourth Reich takes over. It's doom at that point. Now, as I look on social media, it is maddening to see the liberals blaming the conservatives and vice versa. You know, you see them. I mean, and they don't really try to explain why the opposing side is wrong and they're right. It's just the fact we're right. You know, they're wrong. And, you know, of course, there's always the name calling and labeling. Well, we have to have a standard because we got to ask the question, who is right? Again, if you ask somebody that's MAGA, they're right. And if you ask the progressives, they are right. And it's the same, Catholics, Protestants, Hindus, Muslims, Christians. We're always just claiming to be right and the other side wrong, rather than understanding that there has to be a true standard of truth to even know how to measure who is right and what is truth. Now, listen, America is a Protestant nation. That means that we buy into the lie of individualism. We believe that I have the individual right to determine truth. That is why the saying is Catholics have one pope, Protestants have millions of popes, because everybody becomes their own pope within Protestantism, because each individual becomes their own interpreter of truth. So we buy, especially in the West, we buy into the lie of individualism. We believe that the individual has the right to determine truth. And, you know, we see that play out even in the secular realms of society, of there is no absolute truth, I determine truth. And, of course, that comes from Jean-Paul Sartre and various philosophers of the mid-20th century. We believe the individual has the right to determine truth, so is it any surprise then that we are in this mess we're in? Individualism. Now, here's where I'm going to parse out communism and Nazism. Now, it feels weird to me. I've been telling my friends lately, it really feels weird to me that Nazis and communists hate each other. I mean, Hitler had such a pure hatred for communists, and it was the communists hating the Nazis who kept blocking Hitler from getting into power, so Hitler had to find a way to get rid of the communists even so he could be in power. And so it feels weird to me that two systems like Nazism and communism, who both thrive on dictatorial rule and rule through violence, that they hate each other. It's kind of weird, but maybe it's grace from God that keeps these sides opposing each other so that it keeps them in check with each other, because if they join forces, we'd really be doomed. But if you have the Western societies that tend to be given to Nazi rule. Now, really, the only time Nazi came and became a term was in Germany, and it comes from a German word, but various societies have practiced the same philosophy throughout history. But why is that? Why do Western societies tend to give rise to a Nazi-type rule? Is because of individualism. Nazism tends to thrive in individualistic societies, and communism tends to give rise in communal societies, and that's why your Asian societies, which are communal-type societies, tend to be communist, such as China and Vietnam and various ones. So that's why, again, in individualist West, they tend to lead towards Nazi ideals. And when they collapse, I would say, and then when Asian or Eastern societies collapse, they tend to give rise to communism. So again, who is right? Who is right? Are the capitalists right? Are the, communists, the Nazis, who's right? The left, the right, the moderates? You have to have a standard to even determine what truth is. And I say out loud that the Catholic Church, founded by Jesus Christ, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, is the standard of truth. Or at least I will say the dispenser of truth. Obviously, truth comes from God, who is truth, from Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But the Catholic Church, which was, again, founded by Jesus Christ and built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, is the dispenser of that truth. This does not mean that the Church has always exercised truth in daily life, or that individual Catholics are perfect. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means that the Church has been given the task by God to present the truth, capital T, truth, Jesus Christ, that comes from God, that is higher than our own little limited individual selves. Now imagine this. Imagine that we have believed the lie that I determine as an individual what is truth. Because you got to understand, I'm a little thing on a little planet in a massive universe And yet in that massive universe, God says, I cannot fit inside the universe. And St. Paul says in the New Testament that is in God, inside God, that we live and move and have our being. So we're moving about in God. So when you consider the infinite nature and the infinite wisdom of God, then it becomes very foolish for me as an individual, limited mortal, to say somehow that I have the capacity to determine truth. There has to be a standard much higher than myself, and that standard is God, who is the truth. So we must interpret current events in light of Catholic social teaching, because it is the Catholic Church that Christ, who is God incarnate, became human. It is Christ who has given his church his authority. And the church has developed a unique and unified system of social teaching, and that social teaching presented by the church is where the standard by which we can determine the current events and interpret the current events. In fact, Jesus condemned the people of his days for not being able to interpret the signs of the times. And of course, that in the context is interpreting who he was as the Messiah. Now, only the Catholic Church has dared to set forth a complete and comprehensive body of social teaching. Now, there is social teaching among various religions, how we should treat our fellow humans, treat the earth, various things. But only the Catholic Church has dared to, again, set forth a complete and comprehensive body of social teaching. And it was solidified in 1895 in Rerum Novarum, the encyclical that was given to us by the previous Pope Leo, Pope Leo XIII, and is nicely unified in the compendium of the social doctrine of the Catholic Church. If you don't have a copy of the compendium, I encourage you to buy one. It's amazing. And I have done a series long time ago on that. But I'm going to, again, lay out specifically the social teaching of the church, then interpret current events, and see if what is being happening in society measures up to the true standard. I saw a meme on X this week that had a picture of Jesus Christ on one side and a picture of John Calvin, John Knox, and the other Protestant founders on the other side. And on the side with Jesus, it said, this man had authority to start a church. And on the other side, it said, these men did not have authority to start a church. So, Jesus Christ started a church. Which church? Well, the only one that can historically be traced all the way back to Jesus, the Catholic Church. I don't say this to diss my Protestant brothers and sisters. I very much love my Protestant brothers and sisters, and I very much am thankful for my Protestant upbringing. It was within a Baptist church that I discovered Jesus Christ. So I'm certainly not anti-Protestant, as Protestants are anti-Catholic. I just now realize the fullness of truth being within the Catholic Church. Now, I bring this discussion up today because we are about bringing justice where there is injustice, right? Now, if we see the rise of a dictator, we are going to see so many injustices happen, and injustices that are already happening, and they're going to overwhelm us. So one way to create just society right where you are is to see the signs of dictatorial rule and to oppose it so that it cannot establish a foothold. Now, the social teaching of the church has three core principles. And there's other principles that come out of these, but the three core principles is the dignity of every human person, solidarity, and subsidiarity. I've talked at length about these. I'm going to mention them again in kind of a summary way. Look at events that are happening recently and see if they stack up to determine if they're right. If they're in line with Catholic social teaching, then they are right. And if not, then they need to be discarded. So let's look at the first core principle of Catholic social teaching, and that is the dignity of every human person. All life, it teaches us that all life is sacred from conception to natural death. All life is sacred from conception. So that very moment that a person is conceived in the womb, they are fully human, made in the image of God, and have inerrant dignity that is owed to them. All the way through natural death, meaning I'm not cutting my life short through suicide, through assisted suicide, doctor-assisted suicide, or whatever, but rather the natural way of dying. What does it mean that all life is sacred? That means every person is deserving of being treated with love, gentleness, and respect. Every person. So yes, even the immigrants and refugees deserve to be treated with respect. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that the Catholic Church opposes the death penalty. Now, as one who's had family member murdered, it's very hurtful, deeply wounding. But why does the Catholic Church oppose the death penalty? It has to do with this first principle of Catholic social teaching. Even that person deserves dignity. And the reason why the Church opposes the death penalty is because the Church is hoping for that person to be to experience conversion of heart, repentance, and salvation. Now, one of the differences I've noticed growing up Protestant to now being Catholic is Protestants are always concerning themselves with, is that person in heaven or hell? Catholics don't concern themselves so much with that, so much as Catholics pray all souls may be in heaven. Somebody asked Pope Francis to describe hell, and Pope Francis said, well, I hope it's empty. We pray, as we pray the rosary, the prayer of Fatima, lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of your mercy. The most sinful, the most wicked person, we pray, God, that you will save them, have mercy, and that they will make it to heaven too. That is the heart of what it means to be Catholic. So that's why Catholics oppose the death penalty, but that's why Catholics oppose the abuse of immigrants and refugees, because these immigrants and refugees are humans made in the image of Christ, and they deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. Because how you're treating them, St. John reminds us in the New Testament, in 1 John, the way you treat these immigrants and refugees or any human is exactly how you're treating God. You cannot separate your treatment of a human brother or sister. You cannot separate that from how you treat God. So if you love others, that shows that you love God. If you hate others, it means, no matter what you say, it means that you hate God, because they are made in the image of God. This week, we read of ICE, the immigration enforcement agents. We read of ICE and the U.S. military using helicopters and other means to tear apart an apartment complex in Chicago. It was a very sad story. Did a lot of research and looking into this story, and it very sad to see that helicopters and other means were used to tear an apartment complex in Chicago apart, to zip-tie children together and arrest American citizens and brutalize them. This is not isolated. You know, verified story after verified story shares the same theme. When this happens, it's a grave sin because it is an affront to the dignity of every person. St. John again says you can't claim to love God yet hate your brother, and this violence against the people in Chicago and other places is an affront to God himself, and there is severe consequences for treating people, innocent people especially, in this manner. Let me be clear, once again, you cannot hate immigrants and claim to be a Christian. You can't do it. You cannot hate people with a different belief system and be a Christian. You don't have to accept what they believe, but you are commanded to love them, to feed them, to clothe them, to visit them. I mean to really love them. So let's take our first test today. In light of the first principle of Catholic social teaching, the dignity of every human person, is the current administration in America and its supporters doing this? Are they recognizing the dignity of every human person? Let's talk about the second core principle of Catholic social teaching, solidarity. Solidarity is when you practice unity and the participation of all interested parties. So solidarity answers the question of who should be involved in an issue. Subsidiarity answers the question of where should the involvement be. So solidarity is something that was practiced by Mother Teresa when she moved into the ghettos and identified, or in the slums rather, there in India, and identified with the poor and the dying and lived among them. She was acting in solidarity. So she, rather than saying, we as the missionaries of charity are going to determine what happens with your lives, rather she answered the question of solidarity, who should be involved in this, and she recognized that the lepers should be involved in the decisions of their life, the dying, the poor, the neglected, the hungry, they should be involved in the decision-making process. And so she recognized their dignity as a human by practicing solidarity, which is the idea of being with the group, not being Santa Claus to the poor, but actually being with the poor. So when Mother Teresa moved into the slums and identified with the poor and the dying and lived among them, again, she was acting in solidarity with them. Now, thinking of the immigrants, refugees, the poor, the homeless, the dying, the disabled, the elderly, you know, it is not enough to acknowledge their need. Can I say it again? It's not enough to acknowledge their need. We must be with them. You know, I love it. You know, one of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, God lives inside of us, so we need to be with these folks for whom God created and loves them so much. Now, as an example, I live in Portland. Good old Portland, Oregon, which is weird. Portland is up in a remote corner of the United States, and yet we are the center of the universe right now. It is hilarious to me that Portland has become the center of the universe. Apparently, we're a war-torn city now. I wasn't aware of that. I mean, I go about, the city looks clean. I was downtown the other day. Looks clean, down by the ICE facility, looks clean. I mean, I'm still all over my beautiful city. I love Portland, Oregon. Thankful to be a resident here. As I go walking in the city, taking public transportation, driving around, shopping, you know, just random walks through different parts of the city, I'm still trying to find the war-torn part. I was joking with someone at church Sunday. I said, wow, it was really hard to get to Mass today because I had to climb all over the rubble from the bombs, you know, and they laughed too. The fact is, Portland is a very peaceful place. There are problematic parts of the city that every major city has, yet big cities like Portland, you're going to have you know, your gang areas, your areas of drugs and stuff, but it's nothing more than any other big city is dealing with. So, Portland's a peaceful city. It's a beautiful city. It's clean. People smile, say hi to each other. But anyways, people have been coming from out of state to see for themselves and joining the protesters. Why are they doing that? Solidarity. So let's take a second test in light of the second core principle of Catholic social teaching, solidarity. Is the current administration of supporters practicing solidarity? And then finally, let's look at subsidiarity. Subsidiarity means that any issue should be dealt with at the most local level. Most local level. When news reporters ask people on the ground what happened, the field reporters on news will go out and stick a microphone in somebody's face, say what happened. Well, the people at the local level know what is really going on. The further removed you are from the local level, the less you know about the facts and even less you know about the solution or the history of the thing. The people that live in the neighborhood and have all their lives, they know the history of the problem, they know the exact problem, and they can figure out the solution. But you get yourself up at the city level, you're somewhat removed from the problem, and then you get yourself up at the state level, you're even further removed. You get yourself up at the federal level, and there's no hope of you having any clue of what's actually going on. You know, I think back to 1930s Germany, Hitler wasn't on the ground seeing what was going on. He was being fed by Heinrich Himmler and Joseph Goebbels and different ones. He was just being fed lies, and he believed them and acted accordingly, which I think is what's going on right now in our federal government. But subsidiarity says at the most local level is where decisions should be made. We must involve immigrants in the conversation on immigration. We must involve the homeless, the poor, the disabled, the elderly in decisions on their own lives. You know, the feds and the state are far too removed and not the ones experiencing the pain. Let the ones who are oppressed be the leaders in their neighborhood on decisions. So let's take our final test on the third core principle of Catholic social teaching, subsidiarity. Is the current administration and its supporters doing this? Now, I'm about to date myself here, but when I was growing up, one of my favorite TV shows was The A-Team, where you had Hannibal and Murdoch and Face and Mr. T, who was B.A. Baracus on that show. I loved watching The A-Team as a kid, and at the beginning of each episode was an opening monologue where the narrator said, in 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to a prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune, and if you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team. And that deep-throated announcer would do that each week. And the A-Team, what were they? They were all about providing justice for those who could not find justice in the system. Well, today we need an A-Team of people like you, who will come out from the underground and help bring justice to those who cannot speak for themselves, especially the poor, the immigrant right now. And remember, as you do to hold up the standard of Catholic social teaching and judge each circumstance by that standard, remember to use Catholic social teaching as the standard to hold up as you go about this task. As you see injustice, follow the example of the great saints and those who stood up to build a just society right where they were.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.